Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hello, good people of the interweb. How are you? Thank you for listening to this podcast. This is episode 493. I got Blasco from Ozzy Osbourne Band and manager to the stars, podcaster, helper of cats. I freaking love this guy, man. Blasco's the best. I'm so happy we got to sit down in LA. And thank you so much to everybody who's donated to this show or who's done some shopping at martyrstore.net. I want to kick it off with some gratitude because that whole LA trip, I could not have done all those podcasts without the diehard supporters of this show. I mean, you guys, I couldn't do it without you. So thank you to Jake Olszewski in Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you so much, Jake, for everything. Thank you to Ben Lee over in Wethersfield, Connecticut. Ben's constant support is amazing. Thank you, Ben. Also, Hunter Adams in Ann Arbor, Michigan. This is for you.
Thank you for supporting the show. This is my way to let you know.
So thank you so much. I can't even express my gratitude to its fullest to Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, and Hunter Adams. And if you've gone over to martyrstore.net recently, you'll see that the new Josta pre-orders are up. We are doing some t-shirt and CDs bundles where I sign every CD for $19 until November 1st. So you got to act fast, okay? martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net. All these pre-orders will ship out in early December. And the album is dropping December 13th. So the first single I think you're going to hear, or first two singles I think you're going to hear, November 6th on Spotify and Apple Music and Pandora and all that. It's When the Contagion Is You featuring Matthew K. Heafy from Trivium. And then another song with Jesse Leach from Killswitch. So I'm really excited for everybody to hear these tracks. Today's episode is, of course, brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com. I love working with IndieMerchStore.com because not only do they constantly restock the designs and offer so many sizes, but they ship it fast. It's quality stuff. I'm wearing my King Diamond shirt right now. Everybody's asking me about that one. And they have restocks from Amigo the Devil, who we just toured with, Clutch, who we just toured with. Of course, they have tons of great death metal, like Cannibal Corpse, Behemoth, Thy Art Is Murder, Black Dahlia Murder, and so many others. Check it out after the podcast today and save 15% when you use my code 15JASTA. That's IndieMerchStore.com. Use my code 15JASTA and you'll save 15%. Shop now for your holiday gifts. Folks, that metalhead in your life deserves something cool from IndieMerchStore.com. Use the code 15JASTA. Today's episode is also brought to you by Rebel 8. Check out Rebel8.com right after the show today and make sure you check out the snapbacks, the t-shirts, the long sleeves, the shorts. I mean, all the bottoms are awesome. Like, they have these awesome sweats, Vagrant shorts. I love the In Us We Trust camo shorts as well. Super comfortable. But all their stuff is quality. All their stuff is great. I mean, they even have Slayer Champion shorts. Have you seen those? You got to get those. If they have any left, I think they only have size large left, so you have to act fast. But use my code JASTA20 and you will save 20%. You know, I love a good American success story, but I mean, this is the real deal. From 500 bucks in his pocket to doing collabs with Slayer, man, Rebel 8, Joshy is killing it. Rebel8.com, use the code JASTA20. A quality streetwear brand like no other. Rebel 8, baby. All right. We have a quick message from Wake Up Music Group. Check it out.
It's finally here. One of the most high octane, adrenaline fueled, gut wrenching albums of the year. But the light of the day. The Indifference of Good Men from the group A Killer's Confession, featuring the fantastic new single Numb. The album is equal parts of beauty and tragedy and takes the listeners on a journey to the edge of insanity and back. Pick up your copy of A Killer's Confession, The Indifference of Good Men, available everywhere from Wake Up Music Group.
There you go. Thank you to Wake Up Music Group, and check out A Killer's Confession's new album. Get it now on Amazon. Check out akconfession.com also, okay? Thank you so much for listening to the intro before the intro. Check out a little snippet of the new Joss the Song Return from War featuring Max Cavalera. That's just a little taste of what you're going to hear when you get this record, okay? Go on over to martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net, pre-order now. Those will be shipping out in early December. And yeah, don't forget, Max is going to be on the podcast next week, and it's a good one. And remember, all these tracks will be up early on my bonus content page on gasdigitalnetwork.com. If you want to subscribe, please use my code JOSTA. That helps me out a lot. We are getting rid of the app, though, okay? So only listen on your browser. I never really promoted the app. I knew people were having problems with it. Forget the app. Use your browser or use one of these podcast apps. Tweet Brian or tweet me, and then I'll copy in Brian so he can tell you the name of them. I think one's called Overcast, one's called Podcast Addict or something, and then you'll just get that private RSS feed, which works, I think, if you don't have an iPhone. If you have an Android phone or whatever the other kind of phones are, I think it works with that. GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the code JOSTA. All right, everybody. We got Blasco. Now on to the show.
It's the JOSTA Show!
My friend, the lead singer of Hatebreed, the infamous and notorious Jamie JOSTA, is in the building.
That's what's up.
Jamie JOSTA from the metal band Hatebreed. That guy's famous.
Coffee, death metal, and push-ups.
That's Jamie JOSTA. Remember Jamie JOSTA? You know him. He's a podcaster, but he's also a metal man.
I would say, you need that.
That shit is hard.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. My guest is Ozzy Osbourne bass player, Cryptic Slaughter founder, former Rob Zombie bass player, manager of the Stars, Zach Sabbath bass player. I mean, this guy, he does it all. He does podcasts. He manages bands. He's a great guy. He helps out kittens and cats. He's a charitable, good Samaritan. I fucking love this dude. I'm talking about Rob Blasco Nicholson, just known to you all as Blasco. All right. You know, keep it short, keep it sweet. The man, the myth, the legend himself, Blasco, is back on the show finally. I'm so happy to have him back. You know, Blasco also has a radio show on at Gimme Radio if you want to follow them on Twitter. Also, if you want to follow Blasco, it is at Blasco1313 on Twitter. But it's Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and Saturdays at noon Pacific Standard Time at GimmeRadio.com. The show is called Volume Forever. So, I mean, besides doing podcasts, he's doing a radio show, he's playing bass. As for the Aussie dates, Europe has been postponed, but the North American dates are still in place. So for North American Aussie dates, it looks like it's starting Wednesday, May 27th at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. And then it goes to like Sunrise, Tampa, Charlotte, Cincinnati, Hershey, PA, Burkittstown, which is basically Pittsburgh. And it looks like it goes, well, he's got Madison Square Garden on June 22nd. So I got to figure out my schedule. Oh, shit. I'm not home for that. Fuck. But it looks like it goes up to Canada too. And it goes as far as like, wow, he's got a lot of dates here. It goes as far as July 31st, ending at the MGM Grand arena in Las Vegas. So I'm telling you, everyone, I've been saying this for a while. We got to honor and appreciate our legends and our innovators and our forefathers while we still have them, while they're still here rocking and rolling. So do not miss this Aussie tour. Get out there, go see Blasco, go on Blasco's side, give him the horns, wear your coffee death metal push-up shirts, or wear your cat shirts, right? Your Black Cat Social Club, is that Rob's thing? blackcatsocialclub.com. Also, he's doing, I think, a 5K or a 10K March 7th or 8th in LA. I'm going to try to free up my schedule for that if anybody's down to. Between now and then, if you've never ran a 5K or you're in the LA area, telling you, start training now. You'll be ready. I remember when I literally thought I could never even run a mile. And then once you get past that fear, once you get past that first mile and you feel sore the next day or for 2 days, and then you run two and you're like, oh shit. Then you run three and you're like, oh shit. Then you run a 5K, you run a 10K. Then you're like, God damn, why was I a bitch this whole fucking time? I should have been kicking ass. It's a great feeling. So props to Blasco for raising all this money for a cause that he cares about. And he's getting out there, you know, getting the blood flowing, getting the sweat going. So much love. You know, he was just honored at the Kittens Rescue Furball. What is it called? Furball at the Skirball Gala as well. It's one of Southern California's largest nonprofit animal rescue organizations, and its 2019 Advocacy Award for his work homing adoptable cats and kittens got him an award. So all you Catterday fans, who else is a big Catterday guy? I think it's Gary Holt, Blasco. There's a lot of metal dudes that love cats. I think Geezer, right? Geezer Butler was there. Geezer and his wife Gloria. God, it would be great to get Geezer on the podcast. Maybe I can use my connections with Blasco. Hey, hey man, shoot Geezer an email for me. But all right, enough yapping. Let's get to some fan questions.
Answer some questions from the fans. Answer them, answer some fans' questions, bitch. Answer that shit.
All right, first one comes from Thomas Adkins, with a D, 4, on Twitter. Writes in, just thought I'd say can't wait for the Slayer episode and that your countdown episodes are just as cool as the guest episodes and stay hard. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, well, please spread the word. Any thrash fans, you know, those episodes just don't perform as well, those countdown episodes. So this is it, unfortunately. I tried with the thrash episode, and actually I'm going to make the top 20 just one episode, if that's okay with everybody. It'll just be one long ass episode just because I don't want to drag it out any longer. And it brings down my monthly download average, and that's, I can't be doing that, you know, because I don't want to lose sponsors. And I've been traveling so much to do the podcast and working myself to the bone, and Brian as well. Shout out to Brian, you know, who met me in the city the other night to get, you know, Jay Weinberg done and to get Robin Black done. And then we were just there literally to, you know, to do to have Doyle on the show. And it's a lot of back and forth. It's super expensive, and in order to not lose money, I need to keep sponsors on board. And in order to keep sponsors on board, I got to get a shitload of listens, which we have been doing, just not on the, unfortunately, not on the thrash countdown episode. Next one comes from Justin Saliva at Justin_DKOC. Hey, Jamie Josta, what's your favorite kids Halloween movie? Ernest Scared Stupid is at the top of my list. Kids today will never know how funny Ernest was. Yeah, good point. Ernest was a weird character, but man, he cracked me up when I was a kid. And I think he passed away, right? Like, I think he was a smoker. I'm not sure if it was like lung cancer or throat cancer. That was sad. I remember, I think it was like back, I don't know, maybe in 99 or 2000. Let me look it up real quick. Let's see here. Varney was a longtime chain smoker. During the filming of Treehouse Hostage in August 1998, he developed a bad cough. At first, he presumed it was a bad cold caused by the climate of the area where the movie was being made. However, as it became worse, Varney began noticing blood on his handkerchief. When filming was complete, he sought medical treatment, and he was diagnosed with lung cancer. Yeah, that was so sad. 50. He was only 50. Oh, man. And it was just, that's too young to go. There you go, folks. I mean, if you want to stop smoking, do it now. Seriously. You know, he was the voice of Slinky Dog in Toy Story 1 and 2 as well. So rest in peace, Jim Varney. Thank you to Justin Saliva for getting me all bummed out now, thinking about, God, I think, when did Ernest Goes to Camp come out? Like 87, I think. It was 10. I don't know if any of these movies hold up. I just have fond memories, but I bet if we watched them now, they might not hold up. We'll see. All right, let me get to your fucking question here, though, because now I'm down the Jim Varney rabbit hole. My favorite kids Halloween movie. It's tough. I guess if you wanted to go like from my era, from the 80s, or if you were talking about now, or if you're talking about like when my nieces and my nephews or my daughter was a kid, there's a bunch, man. I mean, for me, I would say the Monster Squad. I mean, how good is Monster Squad? Seriously. Shout out to Fred Decker and I think Shane Black, right? Was this Shane Black around the same time, I think, as being in Predator, right? And working on that script and stuff. Also doing Monster Squad. Very cool stuff. I mean, it's not a, it's not a Halloween movie per se, like taking place around Halloween or whatever, but I remember Labyrinth from the 80s. That was good. I'm trying to think what my daughter watched. I mean, my daughter was born in 99, but we still were watching, like, you know, a bunch of, when she was little, we would watch a bunch of 90s movies like Casper. I remember we watched that. I mean, E.T.'s technically a Halloween movie, right? We watched, what else did we watch? With the kids, we watched like Hocus Pocus. They like that one. The little vampire. That one was kind of fucked up. There's some weird shit in that one. I don't know if anybody saw that. I don't know if any parents are listening. But for me, I would say it would have to be a tie between Ghostbusters and from the 80s at least, Ghostbusters and Monster Squad. You know, I know there's other ones, Adam's Family and whatnot. Some people might say Little Monsters. That's a weird one with Howie Mandel. I don't know if anybody remembers that with Fred Savage. That's a fucking weird one. I never got into Little Shop of Horrors. I don't know why. I just didn't like the plant or something. I remember, like, that just turned me off. I forget why I never gave that a second chance either. But anyway, shoot me an email. Let me know. JossTheShow@gmail.com. Favorite Halloween movies if I'm missing any. And I will be, I'll be having Howard Jones on the podcast coming up soon. So, and we're going to be talking a lot about Halloween candy. So get ready for it, okay? And shoot me your favorite Halloween candies as well. Maybe, who knows, maybe I'll send you some. JossTheShow@gmail.com. Now we're gonna get to a four-way yours is, ours is. The first of its kind, I think, which was pointed out to me by Larry, our guitar tech, and our tour manager, Brian. They both work with Hatebreed. And so I just need to find the links to all of them first. But before I get to that, I want to give a quick shout out to Lamgo and the PRP and a couple of the sites that I think also Metal Injection, a couple of the sites that reported on Hatebreed having, you know, a new album coming out in the spring, and then also my new Josta album coming out. So when I went over to Lamgo, I saw they had posted that, you know, the Hatebreed album was coming out. So thank you to them. And that actually was like one of the most high, it was right up there as far as like the most views for the news, aside from like, you know, Chris Adler addressing his split with Lamb of God, which I'm going to talk about on the Howard Jones episode coming up. But while I was over there, I saw that Suicide Silence has a new album coming out. It's called Become the Hunter, produced by Steve Evitz, who produced the first Hatebreed album. And I guess Eddie used the mic that I used on Satisfaction. So when I was over there, I thought, oh man, maybe I should do like a metal news segment on some of the episodes where I have time, and I'll just put in stuff from around, you know, a bunch of these sites. And give them the credit or whatever. Or I'll just put in, you know, because I get sent a lot of these press releases as well. Usually I just sort of gloss over them because I get a lot. But the ones that I, you know, I feel like you guys care about, if I can get the podcast out in a timely fashion where then it isn't old news, let me know if that's something of interest, if you want me to do a metal news segment. JossTheShow@gmail.com. All right, let me know. So yeah, I saw they released the track listing and the pre-orders for the new Suicide Silence that's coming in November. It's going to come out in early 2020. So they announced the title and the track listing. Then I saw on the PRP that Agnostic Front and Sick of It All announced a New York mini tour. And I was like, damn, I had this idea a long time ago. I should have acted on it. At the time, though, it was, I want to do the five, I want to do the five borough Turo. They're doing four of the five boroughs. I think they're doing Manhattan, Staten Island, Queens, and Brooklyn, which is awesome. Agnostic Front is sick of it all. This is, and it's around the Misfit show in Philly that Agnostic Front's playing on December 14th. But it's New York City at the Bowery Electric, Staten Island at Pugs, Queens at the Blackthorn 51, and Brooklyn at the Kingsland, December 11th, 12th, 13th, and 15th. Do not miss this. Again, you're getting to see two New York hardcore legends, bands that don't normally share the stage too, right? Like two headliners together in these small little venues, all those classic songs. It's going to be awesome. So props to Roger and Lou and Stigma and the boys for getting that together and making that happen for the fans. That's extremely cool. All right, now we're going to get to the four-way yours is, ours is.
Hold on. Let me tell you.
Yours is
and ours is.
Yours is
and ours is.
Yours is
and ours is.
Yours is,
listen to me.
Yours is,
and ours is.
Yours is,
and ours is.
Yours is,
and ours is.
Yours is,
listen to me.
So props to Larry, props to Brian. Man, this one it blew my mind. First, we're going to hear Kiss. This is the solo from She off of Dress to Kill, which I think came out in 1975. This is at the 2:42 minute mark in the song She from Kiss. Okay, so that was Kiss. That was from 75. But wait, there's a song that predates this from the band The Doors from 1968. So now we're going to hear The Doors song 5-1 from the 106 mark to the 118 mark. Check this out. Come on! Wow. So right there, Ace or Gene or someone, right there, they already owe The Doors a couple of sandwiches. And when you go to 5-1 on YouTube, first of all, 5-1 is hard. Damn, the lyrics are hard. I forgot how good this song was. This is off the Waiting for the Sun album. When you go to the YouTube link, everybody's talking about how the song's in the new Rambo. So if you're following, stay with me here. So Robbie Krieger, if you see Gene or if you see Paul or if you see Ace out, be like, look, Buster, you owe me. All right, we're going to Panera Bread, which everybody, if you know me, you got to call it Pantera Bread. There's no reason to call it Panera. It's close enough. Or you're going to, you know what? If you're in LA, you got to go someplace nice. You know, like go to Travis's place, Crossroads, get a healthy sandwich or a healthy meal. Hook them up. They can afford it, especially after that farewell, the fifth farewell tour that's still going. Shout out to Frank, by the way. Frank from Hatebreed, he's on the Kiss crew. So I told Frank, I'm like, you better talk to Gene and Paul. You better find out, ask him, just be like, look, come with it. Did you rip off The Doors 5-1 in She? Be honest. 75, that's 7 years after it came out in 68. But wait, there's a plot twist. Now we're going to hear Pearl Jam. So this is from the song Alive off of, what album was this? This is off the album 10, and this is from like 91 or 92. Okay, so here's Pearl Jam from the 325 mark to the 334 mark in the song. Wow. So there, what's his name? McCready? Mike? Mike and the guys, Eddie. Now, maybe it's just a quick little lick there. Maybe they're just paying homage to Kiss or The Doors, whichever they're fans of, maybe both. This just on YouTube, I think, has like 65 million views. So they can afford just as many, if not more, sandwiches for this riff. So now, after Gene has to buy Robbie Krieger and the remaining members of The Doors a sandwich or two, he's going to have to go to Eddie and Mike and the Pearl Jam guys and be like, guys, listen, it's okay. I heard. It's fine. I should have got Craig Gass to be on this segment from of Yours Is Ours. This like saying, maybe I can hit him up still. We'll see. He does a way better Gene impression of me. But all right. But so now here's the ultimate plot twist. Okay. Entombed, one of my favorite bands, also got this lick in one of their songs off the 1997 album, the year we toured with them, by the way. Shout out to Entombed for taking us on one of our first tours, one of our favorite bands. That was like a dream come true. Shout out to LG. Shout out to the boys. Shout out to Alex. I know they don't get along now. There's two different Entombeds. I know. Don't write me about that. I know. But listen, I'm neutral. But so this is from, they're taking the same lick here. They're using the same lick. This is from Damn Deal Done, and this is from 154 to the 201 minute mark. Check it out. All right, so there you have it, our first ever four-way Yours Is, Ours Is. I think all the sandwiches are owed originally to The Doors. Maybe Kiss popularized it, but man, how freaking cool is that? How incredible is that? That somebody had the ear to hear all of those at different times, at different points in their life, and go, wait, that lick sounds familiar. Man, that's a good ear. So shout out to Larry, shout out to Brian. I don't know who it was, but thank you. And hey, it could be coincidence. It could be, hey, look, you track it, you go, God damn, I just was feeling it at that part. You rip out that lead or that solo, and you're like, and then, you know, other dudes are like, man, it sounds like something else. I don't know what it is, but ah, fuck, it sounds great. Keep it. I'm not saying anybody did it on purpose. You know by now, if you listen to this podcast, you know that this segment is all in fun. All right, now it's time to read some emails.
Read some fucking email. You bastard. Read some fucking email. Just to show X email.
And hey, just a real quick, just a quick shout out to everybody who's written in, you know, wanting me to call or wanting like mental health advice and or wanting me to hit them up. Listen, I feel for you. I totally would love to be able to, you know, be a shoulder to cry on or someone to lean on or an ear. But I cannot do that. I've done this in the past and it's burned me. So I just, in speaking with my lawyer and everything, I am not a health professional, a mental health professional, a psychiatrist or a therapist. And so if something were to happen, if my advice does not work, or if, you know, I can be liable, and believe me, I want to help. But now, and this happens every year around the holidays, I'll start getting, you know, all sorts of messages on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and stuff. And I wish I had the time and the energy and the knowledge and the professionalism. I wish I was a therapist. A lot of times I really do, but I have my own problems, I have my own stuff, and I have the people around me that I have to tend to first. And you know, I employ a lot of people, I have a huge family, and I hate to sound like I'm making excuses, but please just, you know, if you're hurting, if you're in a bad situation, please seek professional help. Seek the help of a professional. There's a lot of free resources online. We've even had previous sponsors like BetterHelp.com, and there are ways out. Do not make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. I always say, even when it's not okay, it's gonna be okay. I'm telling you, and I'm flattered, and I feel I'm extremely grateful and appreciative that you think that I might have answers for you that you can help. But I can't. I'm sorry. Okay, first email comes from Bubba James. Subject line is your podcast. Bubba writes, would like to have your podcast shows on my radio station website. I'm revamping web page now. We'll be back up later this week. Have listened to a lot of your shows. Really like them for a while now. Just wanted to touch base and see what you thought of it, making a heavy metal page just for podcasters such as yourself to showcase their shows on. Bubba, I don't know. That's a question for Gas Digital or the higher ups. I think I appreciate you wanting to spread the word about the show. Please, by all means, I guess just do it. I don't know. I mean, it's up on iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher and SoundCloud and you know, there's various websites reporting, you know, on these interviews or these discussions where the people, you know, will say something and they usually give us credit or they'll link the, you know, the embedded link to the thing, but that this question's above my pay grade. I'm sorry. Occasionally I'm of the mind of like, do it first, ask questions later or whatever, but that can get you in trouble. I don't know. I forget whose song it was, but we had somebody's song and we thought, well, this band needs the exposure, and you know, and then we put it on one of the, I forget, we put it on our SoundCloud, or we put it on one of the episodes in the SoundCloud, and then we got flagged and it got taken down. And same thing on Instagram, I posted something with music and I got flagged, and then I got like shadow banned. So I don't know, man. I'm sorry. I don't have any answers for you right now. All right, next one comes from Jeff Allman. Subject line is Hatebreed T-shirts. Jeff writes in, hey, Jamie, I've been a fan since Satisfaction. I'm 42 now. God, that's old, right? I'm not young and skinny anymore. Ha ha. I'm trying to get a new Hatebreed shirt to rep around town. A lot of the shirts are sold out. Bummer. I wear an XL. Just want a plain Hatebreed logo tee. Can you give me an idea of when they will be restocked? Thanks, Jeff Allman. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, I know. We're trying to get everything restocked by, I think it's hatebreedstore.com or hatebreed.merchnow.com. I think it's just hatebreed store.com, and then it links to our merch now store. And yes, we're going to get everything restocked before Cyber Monday, before Black Friday, before the holidays. And yeah, I know when we do those, just those straight logo on the front with nothing else, with no back design, they sell out quick. So we got to restock those, and we'll get you those. So I appreciate you reminding me about that. And also, we have some leftover tour design shirts at martyrstore.net. So I think we have like one or two Chicago shirts, three, maybe four of the Sacramento one, which we found in the trailer. It was two XLs. They were buried under something else. So I'm sorry we don't have all the sizes. And I know I've talked about we're not offering these things online. So just so you know, that's the case. We're not printing these. The stuff that's up in martyrstore.net, these are just leftovers. There's a couple of the UNC ones. I think the Tar Heel one. There's a couple of maybe the Concrete Confessional long sleeve in medium. But just check out martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net. Maybe there's one Rochester shirt left and one other. All right, everybody, let's get to my chat with Rob Blasco. I'm so happy to have Blasco back on the show and just love this dude. So let's do it. Rob Blasco, hit the music.
Start this motherfucker!
So what's going on?
Well, Maori moved to LA, and I moved too. Like, so moving is a pain in the ass, yes, as anyone might know. And then he started a new gig, and so, you know, just our lives have sort of been up in turmoil. So even though we talk all the time and we're like, dude, we got to get it back going on, it's just our lives have just been chaos. So it's been, is for the first time ever, you know, 120 some episodes, for the first time we're just kind of just jammed the fuck up, and it's just been hard to pull it together. But I think that we will, once the dust settles, I think that we can get it back in motion. So,
all right, cool. Well, you were on a roll, man, and the content was great. I was going to look up that that band website company that was sponsoring the show, cuz I thought there's got to be a reason why, like, between Squarespace and Wix, there's some sort of like barrier to entry, and I want to see, like, maybe this is something I can apply to my Wix deal.
Banzoogle was the one you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I want to see if I can take whatever they're doing that's getting bans and apply it to my Wix deal, because I'm not going to down on any of the apps, but it was one of the things I really wanted to talk to you about, was the off day shows for bands, or the shows where bands on the package tour are not playing, it becomes so fucking confusing to people. And then when they click through to some of these apps, the lineup is not there, or the lineup is wrong, or the door time is wrong, or the ticket price is wrong, and then the ticket link is dead or wrong. And we have a situation like we have tonight where you're like, dude, you're on the show tonight? Shavo hit me up. You're on that Clutch bill? It doesn't even have you listed. Yeah, because you're probably looking at Clutch bands in town or whatever, and it doesn't have us.
Yeah.
So this can't be a problem that's exclusive to just us. It's got to be something that's coming up, and there's got to be a way to change the algorithm or change the fields that you enter this information into the app so that it's more accurate.
Yeah, it's... I don't know the answer. I mean, just because it's so much information all going out, and especially if you're talking about how many bands are tonight, four, like, that's, if I'm following all four of those bands, I'm getting four separate feeds. You know, sometimes I'll get like Little Pump at the Bank of California, which is like a stadium. And I go, oh, I know Little Pump isn't headlining the stadium, but I only follow Little Pump, so I don't know what festival or whatever it is
he's
on, right? Because I'm not getting that feed, you know, like if it's Kanye that's headlining, right? Like I'm not getting that. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. Little Pump's playing his fucking football stadium, but he's obviously playing with somebody else, but I don't know who else or what it is or whatever.
And you don't even have the link to click through.
Yeah.
So like people think we're playing Aftershock. People thought we were playing that festival in Asbury Park that Dropkicks was playing because on the Dropkicks ad, Matt.
Oh, right.
Meanwhile, we're playing fucking Rochester.
Yeah.
So
it's this thing, dude. It drives Tim crazy because Tim is just like, Tim is our booking agent, by the way, for those who don't know. But so you'll get a kick out of this. Like it drives him crazy because I'm like so OCD about stuff. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to put asterisks on a fucking ad mat. Like, I'm just not going to do it. And he's like, but, and I go, I can't do it. Like, I can't put like an asterisk that says this band isn't, if they can't do the whole fucking tour, then they're not on the tour because my ad mat is going to be confusing and I can't deal with the confusing ad mat.
Thank you, Blasco. We're going to make thank you, Blasco shirts for this episode. Thank you. Thank you. No, seriously, I'm the same way. Yeah. Like, do you know how fucking, even with the second leg, now it's got to be the same bands for the second leg. Because if I hear one more fucking kid complain about the difference between the bands on the first leg and the second leg, why the fuck does Milwaukee get this band and not this band? You know what, mother? All right. We won't even.
They don't know. They don't understand the logistics of it all. And they have every right to complain. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like from their perspective,
we didn't complain. Yeah. We didn't know. We just bought the ticket. We went. We never asked once what the fucking set time was. Never once in my life did I call a venue and ask what the set time was. I showed up. I was front row. I was ready to mosh, stage dive, or if it was a concert, I was ready to fucking steal somebody's t-shirt while they weren't looking.
Right out their back. So tonight you are playing the Hollywood Palladium. And exactly the story that you're talking about. It was Armored Saint headlining with Metallica as the support band. And then there was an opener, which I couldn't even tell you who it was. And so me and my buddies rolled up to the Palladium at like 1 p.m. to wait in line so that we could be in the front row to see Metallica. You know, and it was with Cliff when was in the band. It was Ride the Lightning.
Wow.
Era. Yeah. I mean, because you think how long was Metallica opening for Armored Saint? Like
not long.
Not long. You know, and we did the same thing. And then I realized the musician side of me where I was like, oh, I'm not the dude that's going to last against the barricade for very long.
Yeah, right?
And I wasn't even think I was barely a musician at that point, you know, but it was just like. Whenever you realize very quickly, like, I'm not that guy. I'm not the dude pressed against the barricade guy. Like, I'm the dude that stands in the back and takes it all in. You know?
So, someone tweeted me the inlay of Earth Crisis, Destroy the Machines, and I forgot that that's me stage diving in the photo in the album with my arm around Carl.
Yeah.
And like not too long after that photo, I think it was a Killing Time show. I did the same thing and nobody caught me and I hurt my hip really bad. And they thought I was going to have to get surgery because it was like where my hip kind of meets my tailbone. Really, I think I broke my tailbone. I don't necessarily think it was I think I fractured my tailbone because it was the worst pain. I couldn't sit. I had to get dragged carried into the hospital and carried out because my father was like, you're not getting surgery. No fucking way. I don't believe this guy. And he took me to a chiropractor who also does other like alternative medicine. And he somehow adjusted me so that the nerve became unpinched. But later on, when I got x-rays, they were like, oh, look at this. You kind of
got
like
a tail.
I have a broken ankle too from a biohazard show where I didn't go to the doctor where it was fucking all like blown up like two grapefruits. And now they're saying to me, I could either get like stem cells injected into it to fix where the cartilage grew into the break, or they have to re-break it and put a fucking screw in. So I don't blame the people who don't want to be in the pit anymore. I make fun of them like you'll see tonight.
Yeah.
I'll go, hey, who's coming out of mosh pit retirement for this song? the other night I had a good one. I was like, because this guy in the back doing the impress me, bro.
Yeah.
I go, oh, look at this guy over here, Mr. I haven't been in a pit since Bad Religion in 81 or whatever. And he came out of mosh pit retirement and he got in the pit. Because, you know, Dropkicks is bringing that old school West Coast punk kind of. They have some crossover with that.
I think so. I don't know. Like, I missed the boat on that stuff. Not because I don't like it. I'm just saying, I just.
You never paid attention. Yeah.
I just missed the boat.
People
hate when I say that about Bad Religion. Yeah. But I went and listened to Descendants. I got a new favorite song, Coffee Mug.
Oh, yeah. Descendants, fucking awesome. Bad Religion, awesome. I'm saying, like, Dropkick Murphys, oh, you missed, Swinging Letters. Oh, right. Like, I just missed the boat on the Irish folk punk rock stuff. Not that of course I respect it. I'm just saying, it's just like whenever I was like, oh, that's a very eclectic bill. Hatebreed, Clutch, and Dropkick Murphys, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I always get the two confused. But so I always have to go, which one is the band where the singer of Fastway sings for the band? Because I know Fastway.
Yes.
I know that band.
Hard. Yeah. Trick or Treat.
Yeah. The whole soundtrack.
I
saw them open for Iron Maiden.
Wow.
And I think it was Saxon. I think it was Fastway, Saxon, and Iron Maiden on the Peace of Mind tour.
What?
Yeah.
Amazing. With all the Egyptian shit?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Where are those set pieces, I wonder? Hey, it's Jamie jumping in here with a quick interruption to remind you that today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Rebel 8, a streetwear brand putting out quality products that I love. And if you head on over to rebel8.com after the podcast today, you'll see they still have some Slayer shorts from the collab they did. They have all new long sleeves. I love the treason tee. I love the abracadabra tee. They have a bunch of awesome accessories. I love this brand. You've seen me wear it in videos and photo shoots on the video podcast and whatnot. And this stuff just lasts. It's quality. It doesn't shrink when I wash it. I mean, there's so many good things I could tell you about Rebel 8. Check out the Crystal Chalice pullover hoodie. That's my new favorite. Also, the Know Your Enemy camel hood is dope. Rebel8.com. Use the code JOSTA20 for 20% off. Now back to the show. Can you believe Killswitch? Motherfucking Adam D. I got a bone to pick with him. Can you believe maybe he didn't get it. You know what? I got to relax. Hold on. I'm already getting all hyped up. We're about to play the show. You're here. I'm excited. I'm so happy to see you. And we just saw Josh Barnett and we were talking funny stuff with him. That was hilarious. That should have been the podcast.
You're totally.
But so that maybe Adam didn't get the message, but there was an auction for the Dragon.
Dio?
Yes.
Wow.
I said, dude, I have the storage. I'll put up half the money, but we both got to be able to take it on tour. So my idea was when Howard comes out with me on Josta and Friends shows, I'll do Holy Diver and bring out the Dragon.
Yes.
Right?
Of course.
And then Killswitch can use it. And they do Holy Diver with Joey Belladonna or Jesse or whoever. Like, I figure, like, the more the merrier. I don't fucking hear back from this dude. I'm like, this normally, because I'm the worst. I'm horrible. Like, I don't even have people's numbers saved in my phone. Like, people are texting me. I don't know who the fuck it is. I'm no one to talk, okay? But if you had your biggest hit from someone who's no longer here and they have stage props, priceless, one of a kind, and they're not even that expensive.
Right.
Wouldn't you, like... It's a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer. Like, to have that and then think about what you're going to do with it, right? Like, you're going to extend the roof on your house so that you can put it in the living room, right? Or you're going to build an atrium so that it can go in the atrium or whatever.
Keep it in the yard.
Yeah. You're like, "Hey man, I got Dio's Dragon. What are you talking about? You mean from the stage? Yes, I have that." And it's going in the house. Like, we're building it and it's going in the house. So when people come by, they're like, "What the fuck? Is that Dio's Dragon?" Yes, it is. It fucking is.
Wrapped around the spiral staircase or something. It even has like a slit for where you put the sword through, like when you slay it. Like, it has an area.
That's amazing.
Dude, but you know, in talking to Howard, he was like, "Nah, you know, they're doing it. You know, I don't want to do it." And I was like, dude, if you come on tour with me, people want to hear you sing Killswitch songs. It's not a disrespect. He's like, "Yeah, but let's just do the song that we did together." So now what I did for the next Josta album, we did another song. Because I'm like, you can't just come out on the tour and sing the one song with me. Because even promoters were like, "Yo, you're not going to do, like, you know, any of the Howard hits? And he's like, no, he's, you know, he wants them to do it. We had him sing Down, yeah, Bury Me in Smoke with Kirk, which was cool to see him.
Sick.
And yeah, then he sang a Fear Factory song with Dino and I too. But I mean, dude, just from a fan standpoint, if I'm at Bloodstock and I'm coming out and I'm like, hey, everybody, look who I have here. And I say, Howard fucking Jones. And the dragon comes out and we go into Holy Diver.
People will lose their minds.
I'm finally getting written up in a positive way. Kerrang and fucking rocks.
I read, did you catch this headline not that long ago where there's a band, and I forgot who the band was, that they write to Iron Maiden's management every 2 years on the day asking if they can rent the Somewhere in Time stage from them. Did you miss this?
No, I missed it. Yeah, I missed it.
I think it was Nickelback or someone. What? Yeah, it was someone like that, to where you go like, that's cool, man. They got a sense of humor, you know? But yeah, they every 2 years, they send a message to Iron Maiden. And I'm pretty sure it's Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden's management that, hey, we would love to rent your Somewhere in Time stage props. Do you guys have that around? And they never get a reply.
Aww.
I just think it's hilarious that they do
that. Would be so amazing if they actually replied.
Right.
That would be incredible.
Like, no, you can't. But we've got from Peace of Mind or from Power Slave, right?
Well, that, oh, could you imagine what the warehouse is like? I want to just do a tour of the warehouse like that. How cool would that be if for like a VIP event, or like,
yes,
if they turned the Iron Maiden like hometown into like a South by Southwest like type event where you have a bunch of the bands they toured with play a bunch of different venues in their area, do some live podcasts, go to the storage room, do a tour, see all the backdrops, see the fucking props.
Yeah.
Dude, the guitars and the basses too. Like, people think...
And the spandex pants?
Yes. The flags?
Yes.
All the flags?
Yes.
Fuck, man. The fucking... The goggles, the flight goggles, the jackets.
The sweatbands?
Yeah, and I'm not even a huge Iron Maiden fan like that, but I still would go.
Hell yes.
We talked about this, I think, once when you were on before, where I was like, you know how they wear the Dio Sabbath shirts?
Yeah.
Imagine if... we wore a Deano Maiden shirt. Like, people would be so mad. People would be pissed. Oh my God. Let's make a, well, no, we gotta be careful, but what, like, how ridiculous could you get? You could do Martin Sabbath.
Right.
You could do Gillen Sabbath.
Yep.
You could do, what else could you do? You could do Glaze Pantera.
Wow. Yeah.
That's when you're just a real dick.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're just like, and just, you're just trying to get the goat of the other fan base. But so, you know, in thinking about this stuff and in thinking about how I can like up the production for next year and for summer 2021, I had called around. Like, I asked about Saxon's stage that they had out on the Priest tour.
Okay.
So I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And I knew that Saxon's kind of, you know, they're kind of like us where they'll scale the show down to be on a bigger tour.
Mm.
And then when they headline, they can do some big theater, some clubs, depending on the market, right?
Yeah.
So I find a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. And he's like, believe it or not, that fucking folds up into a trailer with all those ramps and the whole thing. And it's on wheels. And... Oh, yeah. You know, I said, are you sure this is not going to make like road crew like quit? You know, because we've all seen that, right? Where they're like, wait, we got 30 days of having to do this and having to tell a local hand how to.
Yeah. And we got to break down and put it in the trailer.
Yes.
Yeah. Over the axles so that it doesn't bottom out.
Yeah. Yes.
The weight has to be specific of where it is.
Every tour at the start, I go, I always go look around. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to quit. This guy's out of here. Like, I always look for the guy who's already on edge.
Who doesn't understand, who isn't going to make it. Yeah.
But so I have to find it. I'm going to find it because I want to take it on the next summer tour. It looks fucking cool. And it's kind of similar how we did it, how we had it on the main stage Ozfest. I don't know if you remember that setup, how we had it where we could kind of walk up in front of the ramp, in front of the amps, and then we could kind of walk up around the drum.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Because we were like, wow, we're main stage. We get to like bring some production or whatever. But there was this band that played in the small room at the venue in Charlotte. not the one that we played with Zach, but the other room. Do you know that one? The Underground, I think it's called. It's like the Fillmore is the bigger room where we played with Zach.
Yeah.
And then where we headlined on our own, we played the small room, the Underground. So there's a band playing in there. And they had these light LED screens. And do you know Joe Lito?
No.
Shout out to Joe Lito. He used to do Lamb of God's merch. He's like, dude, that fits in the trailer. The company is currently moving storage units, so they didn't want to have to freight it back. So they gave it to the band for like dirt cheap. You got to look it up. The band, I won't say the name of the band because I don't want to give away their deal or whatever, but the band has this fucking sick production for cheap. And if you know the size of that room,
yeah.
I mean, it looks pretty fucking cool to have these screens with all the different imagery and shit.
Right.
And I know you're always talking like, how, you know, how can I get a cheaper blank? How can I get a cheaper,
yeah.
you know, and because that is money that reverts back to the artist.
Of course. You know, you got to shave it down if you want to come home with some money. We can't tour for no reason, but right? You can't tour for the sake of touring, right? I mean, you can if you can justify like, oh, we're just trying to build up in that market. And we know that, you know, second or third time around, you know, but for the most part, man, like not in our age.
No,
we're not coming home with nothing.
But how do you bring more production if you're one of these bands like a Saxon or a Hatebreed, where you're, you know, maybe on an anniversary of a tour or of an album, I mean, or maybe on a, you can step it up a little bit, but you're sort of kind of, you know, slow and steady wins the race. You know, you're at that level and you want to stay at that level, but you want to keep upping the show.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. Like if you're a fan of a certain band, like, I mean, do you think how, like, I think production is maybe sometimes overrated. It's a case by case basis. Right. But I feel like what's the most important is that you have an amazing sound guy. So that it sounds fucking awesome. And then I think if you got to lights, like someone that understands dynamics and that how to make the show look good so that it's audio and visual, it's just on point with all the right moments of your songs, right?
Yeah, the rhythm and the cues.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. To
you
where
ever see where it's that, off rhythm?
Yeah, to where that I feel like, and you know, as a fan, as a dude in the crowd that is obviously not against the front row anymore, who's in the back watching the show, I get enough out of that. Like, I'm going to expect production if I go see Maiden or if I go see the Misfits or, you know, like, if they don't have that shit, like, in an arena, like, I'm like, I'm feeling cheated, right? But, like, at this level, I don't feel like, if I go to see a Hatebreed show and there's no production, but it sounds awesome and looks awesome, I don't need you to have fucking ego ramps, you know, like that doesn't change the show for me as a fan.
Well, we're a support act on this run next summer. So I'm wondering that we'll see, right? We'll see what the routing ends up being. Right now, I think that the venues are pretty accurate, but who knows? It could get bumped up into some bigger places and then we have the opportunity, but I definitely want to talk to you about it because I always felt like Zach had really, and Black Veil Brides had cool, like a cool looking show, but it didn't look like it was going to like break the bank.
Yeah.
You know, like I always felt you were smart with that. And it's funny because in talking to other agents and other managers recently, everyone's like, yo, a lot of tours are really tanking right now, but one tour that's kicking ass is fucking Zach and Black Dahlia.
So kicking. And speaking of Tim, I got to give Tim, you know, some real credit for that because I was like, I wonder if the fan base is just going to be, if it's just going to be too pummeling of a night, right? Like just too much fucking just audio facial reconstruction. And I was like, but that's the beauty of Tim, right? Is that he knows he's not just his opinion because it's his opinion. It's based on factual information or it's, you know, he's in tune with what's going on because it's what he does every day. And I trusted him. You know, I think that's our relationship where I was like, I don't know if I agree with you, but you know what? I'm going to trust you. and let's go for it. And fuck, man, he was right, because that tour is it's crushing.
It's doing, I'm not going to get in trouble, but it's doing bigger numbers than tours that I was like, wait, what? I'm like, hold on. And tonight when you watch Dropkick, see their show. They've been so good to us, because on the nights that we can't fly the backdrop, they just put our stuff on the screens.
Oh, that's cool.
So they're super cool. Yeah. I mean, they're and this is the first time we toured with them since Motorhead, since 99.
Speaking of production, though, too, can I just give you a quick pet peeve? I hate CO2.
Me too.
Fucking hate it. So, and I tell all my bands, I go, please, like, Zach, dude, please don't use the CO2. You don't understand how fucking loud it is.
Yeah.
It's like, here's the dynamic moment, and we're dropping on the one.
Ugh.
And it's, and I'm like, I'm like cringy. Bro.
Yeah.
I go, please stop. And he loves it. Whatever. And
why not just turn a fogger the other way?
Or whatever.
It's the same effect. Yeah. You just turn a fogger up. You just turn it towards the ceiling. It looks the same.
And it doesn't go psst.
Right.
Louder than the music.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God.
That shit drives me crazy. So whatever you do on whatever tour it is that you're going to do, just please, as a favor to me, just no CO2.
Yeah, no, we won't.
Don't spend that money on some other production.
Yeah.
Sparklers or fucking something.
I wanted some sort of like skull and maces that was 3D that could be deconstructed and put into a truck or a trailer. Like on a tour like this, we could tip out clutch or drop kicks to put something on the truck, you know, or pay them or whatever. But, you know, in looking up like foam and all the, you know, and it just, it gets so pricey.
Mm.
And then when you see the local crew, like if they're ripping our backdrop, if their scrims are going missing, one day with the backdrop was missing, like some days I'm like, this could be a big fucking mistake, like a costly mistake where this shit gets fucking smashed. But I just want one tour where we have something ignorant. And... So I'm going to pitch you my idea.
Okay.
Off mic.
Yeah.
Don't let me forget. I'm going to eventually say it on the podcast, but I've seen you do some cool stuff with Ozzy and some cool stuff with Zach. And one of the things I always thought was really cool and fun was all the black beach balls.
Oh yeah.
And I talked to the company that made those. And, I saw people like just trying to take them like out of the air for themselves instead of.
Of course. No, they. It's like they go up and they bounce once and then they're gone.
Yeah.
Like in 10 seconds. It's like, it's such a cool effect whenever they're like at a festival, whenever they're bouncing it around, you know, and they're just going from and for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Or for the duration of the song. No, they go out there. They're literally up there for 10 seconds. They get one bounce and then it's over.
Yes.
It's so lame.
See, I wanted to do one where we had like that sheet where they're all in the ceiling and everybody doesn't know that they're up there.
Yeah.
And then for the whatever song, you just drop them unexpectedly.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was any like legalities against that. Or I mean, they're so light. They're just beach balls, but you never know. Someone would be like, oh, the spout that you blow into poked my eye out or something, and then we got a lawsuit. But the other thing I thought was so fucking cool, and I don't know if you had something to do with this, was the plane going over with the Black Label Society in stores, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That was hard.
Yeah.
That was like some car dealership shit.
That's fun.
What does that cost?
That's a label thing. Right. So when you go to the label and you go like, what's our marketing budget? We got to do let's do some out of the box stuff. Right. Because it's not like, you know, it's not like magazine ads work anymore. You know,
yeah.
So it's like, what can we do? You know? So a lot of times when you find stuff like that, you know, it's not as expensive as you would think, because how often do people even do that? You know?
Right.
Like, it's not like a hard thing to find. Like, oh yeah, great. Like sometimes people are just stoked.
That you want to do it.
Right. Great. Yeah, that'd be awesome. We could pull a banner off the back of our plane. Hell yeah.
That's how it was when I wrapped the Hatebreed van in 2009. And still to this day, the guy kept one of the panels on the front, and the van is still rolling. So I still have people going, yo, I saw the van. It's not like totally wrapped, but he kept the Hatebreed on the front. Whoever bought the van, he got it for like $300 after we got rid of it.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Jamie with a quick interruption. Reminding you today's episode is brought to you by Infinite CBD. They offer the cleanest, purest, and healthiest forms of CBD available. My daughter loves the vegan gummies. I just take the nighttime pills with the melatonin and 25 milligrams of CBD, but I've tried a bunch of their products and I love it. When I was going hard on the last tour and I was feeling sore, especially if I was riding my bike during the day or if I was going on a really long hike, I'll rub that freezing point topical cream into my calves or into my feet. It really helps. But CBD gives you all the marijuana benefits without the high. So no psychotropic, no psychoactive effects from CBD. You're gonna feel relaxed. You're gonna feel anxiety free, depending on how much you take, or it's gonna help you get to bed at night. Visit infinitecbd.com, use the code JOSTA15, and you'll save 15% off your order. Now back to the show. Big thanks to Infinite CBD. For the JOSTA record, I want to do a bunch of these different marketing ideas, and that's why I was listening to Managemental, because I was like, oh, let me see, you know, and I liked the cassette idea. So I'm probably going to do like a run of like 300 cassettes.
Yeah. Cassettes are hot, man. People right? love those.
They love them.
It's just maybe just because it's a cool novelty thing. You know, it's not like someone's playing them. I mean, where?
In the old Honda Civic that you buy for $500 at CarMax or whatever.
I guess, yeah. But I think it's just because, you know what, it's all about the packaging, right? Because you can do so much cool stuff with the packaging now. It's more of, and they're so cheap too, you know? But I just think that they're a real cool item. But yeah, you have to keep it like in the hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to do 300.
Yeah. Perfect.
What do you think about like a journal? Like with my Josta Skull Bandana logo, like how I would write my lyrics back in the day, like not a composition pad, but like a nice, like journal,
like a recreation of the actual one that you did, and then it's like photocopied and
but not with the stuff in it, blank, so that people can write their own stuff in it.
Maybe, I mean, if you want to inspire someone, back to school era, okay, you know, time of year.
What about, because this is going to be for Christmas, it's going to be coming out around Christmas. What about those ornaments? I always see, I don't like the cheesy sweaters.
I feel like the ugly Christmas sweater thing is a little played out only because where do you go from there?
Yeah.
And then it was such a great idea. And then what happened is people started to dumb it down and just screen print pullover sweaters.
Like
sweatshirts. And then that kind of ruined it because it's like, here's the low tech version of the much cooler idea. But now it just feels like played out. Like we started doing the ugly Halloween sweater. So we started doing it. So just to shake it up a little bit, you know?
Okay.
I feel like that's played out. But I think the trick on the Christmas stuff, whether it's an ornament or wrapping paper or any of that shit, is it's like, it's gotta be a bundle. Like it's gotta be a complete, it can't just be like, oh, look at our ornament. Like, if it's an ornament and wrapping paper and a t-shirt and a sweat, if it's a thing that's part of a package, then that's cool. People love that shit.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I noticed that when because I was selling a bunch of stuff on Depop to fund the mix and to fund the guests, and it just helped me put it out. Right.
Yeah.
And because I've saved everything. Like I was a hoarder for a long time. So I looked through, I had a bunch of old, like screen printed, posters from shows I used to book. So I had like a bunch of I Hate God AC. Remember that tour?
No.
I don't think the tour lasted long. Talk about a fucking wild bill. They showed up. It was Sunday. They wanted whiskey. I'm like, yo, it's Connecticut. We don't sell whiskey. Yeah. Seth was throwing he puked in a bucket, then put the mop in the bucket, then threw the mop with puke like right into the crowd. I mean, it was wild. So I always saved like stuff like that. And so I put a couple of those up on Depop and they sold so quick. I probably should have put them up for like $50 each, but I was, you know, it's my podcast listeners and my fans that I want to hook them up. So this is a 20-year-old original hand numbered. A lot of these items are very rare too. I would do them for like $10. And if you bought something, I thank you on the album.
Yeah.
So I started thinking maybe that would be cool. Like screen print, like do lithographs or maybe do like prints of my lyrics and then just sign it. I don't want to do the handwritten lyric thing.
No, you don't want to do that.
I don't.
Because it seems like a good idea until you don't realize how long it takes to write your lyrics.
Kirk is still getting
angry people, like where the fuck it was February last year or whatever.
Yeah.
And he means well. And I've sit on every day on Joss and Friends tour, he wrote out lyrics and he still had like 200 to go because
it's epic.
Yeah. Cause that's something that is really a value where the artist is writing the lyric. But I thought, how could I do that where it's still cool? Maybe just run 100 of them and hand number them.
Yep.
Like print, screen print lyrics.
You could do that. Yeah. Or, you know, the beauty of it is ask your fans. Hey, I got some ideas. Which one do you like? Because we, whenever we did a Zach Sabbath tour, the reason why we made vinyl in the first place is because I was like, hey, what item would you like us to have on tour? And it was like vinyl, cassette, something else. And I don't remember. It was like four things on Twitter, you know? Vinyl, fucking hands down winner.
Everybody wants like, the fucking vinyl.
And I was like, cool, that's what we're making.
And but then Jack White's got the fucking plant booked for 2 years, and what are you going to do? Now Beyonce's making fucking vinyl.
Yeah.
So, well, like...
yeah. It's... Yeah, if you want vinyl, you have to know in advance. Like, way in advance.
Far.
Yeah.
I'm going to do them for both volumes, but I think what I might do, too, is I notice... Anytime on the last record, the only guest was Howard. And so whenever I could get Howard, I'd throw him some money to sign CDs. And then I would put those up in the store and they would go quick. So I think if I could, I'm not going to be able to get all the guests at one point to sign all the CDs.
Yeah.
But I thought like, okay, when I see Max Cavalera, here, sign 30 CDs. Here's some money. Put those up. When I see Phil from Sacred Reich, you know, and do like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe offer different, or I even thought about offering... maybe even doing like 500 copies limited without the guests so they could hear the part I wrote for the guests with me doing it.
That's a cool bonus.
Would that be?
I think that's a cool bonus personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I would be interested in knowing what that was like.
Cause I wrote all these parts with either the artist in mind or someone with a similar voice in mind, just in case I couldn't clear.
And then the next level is the instrumentals, and then let fans upload their own version of what they would do, and then have a contest. And
oh, that's a good idea.
You know, and then they win something special that is signed by everybody, or you know, you got to have some grand prize package. But put up the instrumentals up there. You know how people put up stems, and then they have people like remix it and
make
a contest. Like put up the instrumentals, have people write their own, you know, guest feature vocal.
Wow.
And sing that, and then
that could be cool.
Yeah.
I thought about doing that, like giving the stems out.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. Like, yeah, just put the stems out. Like Kanye, I think, did that. Like, here you go, here's my stems. Do whatever the fuck you want.
Fuck, what if it ends up on one of his songs?
Right.
Yeah.
And then, or like, what if you get to do a song where you have his kick drum or his snare and it works great with your song?
Yeah.
Yeah, Papa Roach did some remixes that I think were really super successful on the streaming platforms. I thought about that too. I even thought about re-releasing the first record with all new guests. Because Five Finger Death Punch did that. You know the record that I sang on?
Yeah.
You can hear it with just Ivan, or you could hear it with me and Ivan.
That's cool.
Yeah, same with like the Halford track, right? And who else was on that record?
Yeah.
Maybe Maria.
I think so, yeah.
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 But so... yeah, I wanted to pitch you a bunch of that stuff. Also, I wanted to ask you about like the definitive Zach documentary. Like, what's the deal? Like,
In what way?
Like, what's out there currently? Oh, all right. Let's talk about first before I get to that. Let's talk about the Pride and Glory.
Oh yeah,
deal. Because I saw that and I messaged E1 right away.
Yeah.
Dude, what the fuck? You got like, cause they, you know, did a similar thing with Crowbar where they were able to acquire the catalog. So was that your idea? Like what, how did that come about?
It's been a mutual conversation for a while. You know, E1 is like, you know, if you've worked with E1 before, like they're very enthusiastic about being enthusiastic. Like meaning that if they love your band, they fucking love your band. Like they love working with you. They love your band. Like they will fucking do as much as they can with you just because they like hanging out with you. Like I like hanging out with you. Let's hang out all the time. You know, that's them.
Yeah, they're so good to great. Crowbar and Kirk. Yeah. And yeah, they were great to us too.
So I think that was kind of it. That's the analogy. They're like, fuck man, we love hanging out with you guys. Let's hang out all the time. Like, can we just license the whole back catalog and re-release it so we can hang out more? You know, we're like,
well,
sure.
And there's a demand. I mean, that record is so good and didn't get its due. It was kind of like ahead of its time. If you think about other records that were kind of similar that came out later from other artists.
And it was such a brief time, right? You know, it's like that thing that was this moment between bigger moments that it's bookended by. So now looking at it in hindsight, yes, it's a fucking great record, but it's sort of a blip on the radar of the Zakk Wylde career, but yet so integral and important that people that love that record, that know that record, that understand that record, they're very passionate about that record. Like I get people texting me all the time, like, dude, I just bought it. Then they tell me all about like the first time or if they saw Pride and Glory or the first time they heard it and stuff. Like they're hyped on this hyped. Record. So yeah, man, it's been fun to do all of that. And cause it's so fun now to go back to physical product and making cool stuff, right? Cause it's like, you know, like whenever you're first starting out, I don't know that everyone realizes that they're in the best moment of their life. So to be able to go back and cause it's like, right. How many times you go back, go like, fuck man, if I could redo that first album, what would I do differently? Knowing what I know now, right? How much would the production be different? How much would the songs be different? In what different way would I sell it? Right? Like how would I bundle it and how would I market it and all that stuff? So what's fun is to be able to go back and have that opportunity of what would we do differently, right? How would the t-shirt look? What would the packaging look like? You know, how can we do it right now?
Yeah.
Which is really fun because it's like, you know, a lot of times management wise, you know, you don't get to exercise the creative side of the brain. Usually it's very like analytical and just get, you know, administrative, just getting it done.
Strategies.
Yeah. But this is cool because it's like everyone's excited about it. Everyone's excited about, you know, re-releasing stuff and just having a second opportunity to introduce it to the fans.
Well, and also it's sitting dormant and yeah. They're not doing anything with it.
No.
So now when you guys can direct the ship, yes. You can say, look, this song's perfect for this playlist. This song, this is great for this sync or this packaging is great. Like I saw the bundles and I was like, oh damn, I need this. It was weird too, because I was right as I was fucking around with my little ceramic Zakk toy with the yeah. bullseye. I yeah. broke it, of course. Yeah. I was like, fuck. And then I think my girlfriend vacuumed up the little piece that holds the strap.
Okay.
So now I got like crazy glue it when I go home. I'm like, yeah. I can't deal with this now. I got to go back on the road. But but I was thinking just as a fan, I think I texted you too. And I'm like, dude, he's so fucking talented.
Yeah, you did. And yeah.
I was just feeling the energy, like going back and listening to that and going, God damn, like motherfuckers don't even know how deep. So that gets me now to the definitive either biopic or documentary, and could it be where other stuff was done that you can get back now, where you can get the footage back and then also include Ozzy footage and Ozzy music? Or is it too complicated? Could you do with this career spanning definitive, tell the story how you want to tell it with them owning the music?
Yeah, I just went to Dunn, right? Headbanger's Journey. Sam Dunn.
Yes.
You know
yes.
him, right? So
I don't know him personally, but I know of him.
Yeah. So he did the ZZ Top documentary. I mean, he did a bunch of documentaries, but he did the ZZ Top one, was the most recent one that I went to. He invited me out and we went and checked it out. And so it's like something like that. You're like, oh man, like you don't know. And it ends at Eliminator. But it's all about the early like days of them getting together and how they got together, like the story, because if you only know the bearded famous Eliminator ZZ Top, right? Like if Sharp Dressed Man is where you start with right. them, there's a wealth of shit that you don't know anything about, right? And then you're like, oh yeah, it's the two guys in the beards. And then the drummer guy, Frank Beard, you're like, when you see the documentary, you're like, that guy is my new hero. Like, he's fucking insane. Like, and so his personality comes out. So now you're like, wow. But the point of it is that it digs into the deep, rich history because they have this lifespanning career. I think Zach Steele's got more to go before we can document his full career. I don't think we're at a point yet to where we've reached the point to where we need to start making the documentary. Like, we're still okay. Telling the story. Like, we're not at the last chapter yet. We're only like halfway through, you know, there's still so much more to go. But on the documentary tip though, we will get there, but I'm producing this passion project of basically the narrative is no Black Sabbath, no heavy metal. And the 50-year anniversary of the first Black Sabbath record is coming up February 13th, 2020.
That'll
be 50 years, right?
Jesus.
So when you think of the first Black Sabbath record, yes, there was two Led Zeppelin records out by then. However, that first Black Sabbath record is the manifesto of all that is heavy metal, right? The tritone of the first riff being a tritone, the thunder, the lightning, the album cover, the gatefold when you open it up, there's an upside down cross and there's this fucking insane poem that will give you nightmares, right? And the logo, the cover, the songs about the devil, right? Like, it's the fucking manifesto of all that is heavy metal.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been trying to beat that record for 50 years and no one has.
No one.
You know. And so Zach Sabbath is re-recording that record in its entirety. So we're doing a documentary about like giving honor and tribute to that record and everything that it did, because you and I wouldn't be sitting around here having a career doing what we do if it wasn't for that record.
For sure.
You know? And so I'm doing like a little fun sort of documentary on that album and what it means.
Dude, that's great.
To people. So that's my current passion project that I've been working on. So far, we've interviewed Henry Rollins and we've interviewed Ozzy. So those were the two interviews I've done so far. And it's been awesome, and it's good to be fucking badass.
It sounds amazing. I can't wait to see it.
So that's the current one.
That's great.
So once we get that one under the belt, then we'll start figuring out Zach. But Zach wouldn't be able to do something serious. So he'd have to make something ridiculous that is his documentary that has nothing to do with him at all.
Right. Yeah.
that's the only way he's doing that.
I thought for sure that The Dirt was going to open up all this like episodic TV and other movies and other like biopic thing. Cause just Zach's story of how he got into Ozzy's band and everything would make a great movie like The Dirt.
Speaking of pet peeves, you know what my fucking pet peeve for every biopic that has ever existed, and you as a musician will appreciate this in particular. So I will say this to anyone that plans on directing a biopic in the future: bands cannot carry a fucking conversation while they're on stage playing music. It can't happen.
No.
Stop doing that. Stop doing that one thing where the band is having a conversation in the middle of them playing on stage. Please stop doing that.
I know. When you write because, you know, now I'm writing some things and doing, I'm fucking around with a couple ideas, and I was reading about spec scripts versus screenplays versus, you know, like how 1 minute of screen time is usually like one page and whatnot. And I was trying to distill some ideas down to pitch to a director. And I can see now why these ridiculous scenes happen. It's because they're trying to move the dialogue along while having a certain set available, and while, you know, they do like these tech scripts as well, I think, where they talk about the various different shots and stuff. So I could imagine that was probably like a on every one of these films, that's like a meeting. Like, well, then that conversation is going to have to like go in the dressing room. And they're like, no, well, we can't. We got it. We're already, they're already on stage during this. All right, well, fuck it. We're going to put them. Yeah, like, get out of here. Anytime anybody says anything, I'm like, what? Now yeah. I got earplugs in. I really can't. People are yelling shit from the fucking crowd.
Yeah.
That's what? I hate that. Like, yeah. when they yell something while the band's, like, the crowd is, and they're like, did you hear that? No, we didn't hear what they fucking said. That happens a lot in movies where yeah. the crowd is saying something to them.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, please stop.
But I thought, man, I already pitched this to Ricky. So, Ricky, you better fucking, I'm saying it on the podcast, so you better fucking, you better shop it and run with it now. The Cat House episodic TV show.
Yeah.
Get the likenesses, pay whoever you got to pay, or if they're not down, change the names, change the likenesses, and tell the story similar to what happened, and then let the fans guess who it is.
Yeah.
Because he witnessed all this stuff that people fucking would love to have a TV show about.
Yeah, no, he would have to definitely change a lot about that, because he would disappear one day for sure. Like, you know, there are some famous people that have probably done some real dirt at the Cat House, and he is for sure sworn to secrecy. You know, so yeah. if he was gonna drop some, he would disappear. If he was gonna drop some dirt on people, man, he would disappear.
Yeah,
for sure.
But is there a way to do it where it's not as bad as it how it
yeah, however
it
because
went down?
You got to figure it's just like, man, you could switch all these things up, right? Because if you change the names and everybody then kind of looked the same, like, you couldn't tell the difference. If you were changing everybody around and it was just this chaotic nightclub event, right? You couldn't tell the difference of Tame Me Down and Axl Rose and who was doing what. Like, you couldn't tell who was who unless they were dressed exactly the same, right?
Right.
But he knows all those stories to where he could definitely change the names and likenesses and switch it all around, and it would just be a pretty awesome episodic, I would think.
Isn't it weird that, like, Behind the Music came out? It was so popular, and everything was, I mean, people watched that thing religiously. And if it was to come out now, it would be like protested, and the bands would be like, there would be like cancel this band Facebooks and stuff. Like, why is that? Is it because the collective consciousness of people who weren't around in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, or whatever? Is it because people think differently now? I mean,
here's a funny side story of Behind the Music. So now, anyone listening that's young and predates MTV, Behind the Music was an hour-long show, right? And it was like a mini documentary of bands, and it was behind the music. So it was behind the scenes of a particular band, right? And they had everybody, and they were super cool. But you as a musician, right, as a fan or whatever, you'd watch this shit, and you go, fuck, man, all these bands fucking hate each other. Like,
yeah.
themselves. Like, you know, like, you could definitely see, like, resentment and stuff because they, you know, whatever. Huey Lewis in the News, you watch that one and you go, these guys clearly split publishing evenly.
Yes. Yes.
These guys all love each other. They get along so well.
He's so generous. Yes. Huey's like the nicest guy.
Right. It's so cool. And it's just like, these guys split everything down the middle.
But do you know what I mean? Like, if something came out now, like, this manager screwed this guy out of a deal, there'd be like a cancel this manager Facebook right away. This other singer got this singer to sign away all his royalties to him or the manager or whatever. They're right. Like,
yeah.
I'm not just saying, like, on the Me Too movement front, because there was stories and there were consensual acts, right? There was nothing, you know. Well, now I guess with the Manson stuff, I guess some stuff came out later on, right, where he fired the one guy from the band, supposedly something had happened. But do you know what I mean? Like, those stories now, if they were told, there would be way more outrage than there was then, maybe because we didn't have a platform.
Well, I mean, hey, look, I mean, not to get too socially political about it, but, man, like, the Joker. Like, think of all the outrage about that movie that, as far as I know, is then conversely, like, all this outrage, it glorifies violence, and it's a problem, right? This movie is a tremendous problem. Okay, but it was the biggest movie in October, the biggest opening weekend in October of the history of movies.
Yeah.
So, like, what point are we trying to prove by being outraged whenever people just want to go and be entertained?
Well, I just wonder if that's why these things aren't getting made again. Because you would think by now there would be a whole new batch of bands that this stuff could be made again. Or maybe people don't want the stories out there, because the more you sort of lay in the shadows and the more mystique there is, the less public discourse and the less scrutiny on your inner workings or whatnot. But I think there is a large population of fans that are like the wrestling fans and the MMA fans, and we like the curtain pulled back, and we want to know the business, and we want to know the inside dealings. And that was something that was so cool about that show. But yet, when the show was coming out, I mean, certain people that got painted in a bad light, I think definitely it hurt their careers. But then other people, you kind of empathized with them, and you were like, oh, damn, I mean, this guy got screwed, and this guy did the screwing. But then, you know, you see, I mean, I see these guys out, and
but MTV was a powerful video platform, and kind really the only one, right? It was music TV, so that was the content that they were providing. Now, like, who's got the budget, right? Who's got the access? Who's got even the reason, right? Like, then if they were gonna do an Unplugged on you, or they were gonna do Behind the Music on you, or they were gonna do a Cribs on you, you had to fucking do it, because it was music television, and you're a musician. Like, you have to be on this channel. Now, if you and I want to go fucking do a Behind the Music on Jazz the TV, we ain't getting anyone to fucking agree to that. Because they're like, whatever.
Right. And then to clear songs. Oh, my God.
We don't have the budget or the time or we'd be the manpower.
We'd be re-recording covers. Like, it's our janky version of, like, of, like, whatever, like, hey, Frank Marino or whoever we want to do, right?
Yeah.
Like, where's the Mahogany Rush documentary? I want it now. I want a Mahogany Rush fucking Behind the Music. Is there one?
Yeah. I don't think so. Zach would love that, too.
I was listening this morning, dude. I was like, damn, I'm going to space with Frank Marino. All right, unfortunately, we got to wrap it up, but we're going to have to do a part two, because I didn't even get to all the other shit that I wanted to talk with you about.
It
goes fucking fast, and I gotta play this fucking show. Jesus. And Barnett's downstairs. He's gonna walk over. People are gonna be like, oh, Justin needs fucking Barnett as his personal security to walk over to the van. Well, thank you so much for the time, and I hope that Managemental gets up and rocking again. But you got the other show.
No.
What happened?
No, that was just the one. That was the one timer.
Okay.
Like, you know, maybe I'll do another season, but that was just like a one-timer, like, Netflix binge listen style thing.
Okay. And then, the Zach Cant tour cancellation. I wanted to do that tour so bad, but I couldn't push the record back again because the whole fucking year is booked.
Yeah.
So we have to be in the studio in December. But, man, we didn't go to Western Canada or Eastern Canada on the 25th.
Well, the good news is we can put something together whenever it works for everybody now. Because, you know, we're reevaluating that run. So let's do something bigger and longer. And at a time that it's not fucking freezing, you know.
But it worked so well when we did it.
Yeah.
Tim first said no. And then I said, dude, that was like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But those people are used to going out in February. And
I understand
raging.
That. I understand. But it's the buses get frozen and it's a nightmare.
When he broke down, I felt so bad. I mean, you want to talk about troopers. When they came and still did that. This is why I love Zach and why he will forever get my respect and my ultimate adoration and love. First of all, he did a video for me, like, right after, and I had to shelve the video. We still don't know where the drives are. You know, there's a Jost of Zach video.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. I didn't know that.
And they came, I mean, he sent me more tracks than any other artist. Just use whatever you want. Here you go. You know, he's so generous. And then the dedication, like getting in vans with blankets wrapped around you with no heat and getting and still doing the gig.
Yeah.
Anybody else would have canceled. Fuck no, I'm not going to Thunder Bay.
Yeah.
And they're like telling us, keep playing. Keep playing. We're at like an hour and 10. Nobody fucking cares. They heard all the hits. And they're in Thunder Bay. Nobody knows us in Thunder Bay.
Right.
They're like, all right, we were giving you some love because Zach likes you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now we want Zach. And he fucking showed up and did the goddamn gig.
That's awesome.
And ripped it.
Of course.
Like ripped it.
Yes, of course.
Teeth, fucking fingers, balcony, stairs.
Yep.
God, he's the best. All right. Blasco, I'll do like my Howard Stern. Howard Stern's out here. We didn't even go. We didn't even go try to fucking see the new Sirius. They got a whole new compound.
Yeah, it's close to here.
I know. What the fuck are we doing? I just saw Shuley posted. We could have probably went over there and got a tour of Howard's compound.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Howard says, you've said it all. Rob Blasco, you've said it all. You've done it all. Thank you, brother. Yeah, we'll do part two. I'll come back out here.
Next time.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Thank you, man.
Thanks.
There you have it, everybody. I wish we could have chatted longer. I know we had to get over to the Palladium. We had to play the show. So thank you to Rob for making the time. I will get back with him at some point. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe now that the Aussie Euro dates are postponed, maybe he'll have some time and I can get back out there maybe around the holidays or before or after. And what else? What else I got to tell you about? We have, we're going to do a For Those About to Pit.
For Those About!
We are going to be marking down a bunch of CDs to just $5 in martyrstore.net. And this is one of them. The band is Death Ray Vision featuring Mike D of Overcast and Killswitch Engaged fame. This is Death Ray Vision with their track Just Let It Die.
Ah!
That was Death Ray Vision with Just Let It Die for those about to pit. There you go. And that CD is going to be just $5 over at martyrstore.net. Check it out after the podcast today and pre-order the new Jost album. And who knows, maybe we'll do some Jost to Death Ray Vision shows. Or what's Jesse's band? The Weapon, right? He's got like a little hardcore band too. Maybe we'll do Death Ray Vision, The Weapon, Josta shows in the Northeast. Like I want to do some small shows like Providence or Ralph's in Worcester or the upstairs at the Palladium or Cherry Street in Wallingford. Or if you have any like small clubs, small show ideas. I can't do many shows in support of the Lost Chapters too, but I thought it would be fun to get everybody in the room and jam out, get two or three bands and see what happens. Any ideas, shoot me an email, Josta Show@gmail.com. All right, now it's time for a deep cut.
Deep cuts, deep cuts. I fucking love me some deep cuts. Deep cuts, deep cuts. Tell me your favorite motherfucking deep cuts.
So this is it, everybody. This is our deep cut. You know I had to do it. It had to be done because it's track 11 off Waiting for the Sun. This is The Doors with 5 to 1. I'm out. Love you all. Bye-bye. See you later. Thank you.
Get together.
Could not do this podcast without your support of our sponsors, without your donations over at paypal.me/Josta. Remember, any amount over 20 bucks gets you a care package. Anything up to 20 bucks gets you a shout out here on the show or a shout out for your friend or what have you. Okay. paypal.me/Josta, or I have Cash App now. It's $JamieJosta. The J's are both capitalized. I don't know if that matters. $JamieJosta on Cash App. Also, Venmo at Jamie Josta, JameyJasta. Any amount gets you a shout out here on the podcast. Anything over 20 bucks gets you a care package from yours truly. Just make sure you include your street address that you've gotten mail at before, please, okay? Also, now is the time to do your holiday shopping. For someone who needs some sick gear, trust me, Rebel8.com is the place to go. And today's podcast was brought to you by Rebel 8, and I love this brand. Quality stuff. A lot of it's American made. I own and wear all the time. I actually probably wear it too much, if you ask me. But you know, you can never wear Rebel 8 too much. Rebel8.com, use the promo code JOSTA20 and you will save 20%. Thank you so much to Wake Up Music Group. Check out akconfession.com for new music from former Mushroomhead vocalist Waylon Rivas. We're going to get him on the podcast soon as well. So if you got a voicemail you want to leave, any questions or comments for Waylon, leave it at 201-677-8032. Same goes for me if you have a question or a comment for me. 201-677-8032. Hit that hotline. Let me know what's up. Before I get out of here, got to thank IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code 15JASTA and you will save. Pre-order that new Cattle Decapitation. You know it's coming out in the end of November. I had Travis on the show. That episode's up on YouTube. There's other episodes up as well. Video episodes where you can watch it on your smart TV or your phone or your tablet. Go to thejostashow.com. We'll start embedding those. Or you just go to YouTube. You know the deal, right? And don't forget, martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net to pre-order the new Jost album, The Lost Chapters 2. It's coming out December 13th. Got guest vocals from Corpse Grinder, Jesse Leach, Matt K. Heafy, Max Cavalera, Zoli from Ignite, Billy from Biohazard, Frankie from Immure, Kirk from Crowbar, Tommy from Prong. I mean, this thing is action-packed, star-studded event. martyrstore.net. to pre-order, and I could not have done this without all my podcast listeners saying, don't keep those songs on the hard drive anymore, man. We liked Lost Chapters 1. Keep putting them out, and thank you. You know, you helped me get past my writer's block. You helped me get past, you know, my fear of people hearing these songs and maybe not having them, you know, think they were as good as I thought they were, but now I'm starting to get the positive feedback, and I'm really getting the creative juices flowing for this Hatebreed pre-production that I'm in right now. That's why my voice is pretty shredded. I've been doing Hatebreed vocals for these new songs, and they're just coming out crushing, really, really starting to kind of sound like a mix between Concrete Confessional and Perseverance, really like metallic, but still hardcore, really in your face, really anthemic. I think people are going to dig it. All right. I love you all. Thank you all. Get out there. Slay the day. Keep the PMA. You know what to do. I don't got to tell you. You know decaf is the death of desire. All right. I love you all. Bye-bye.